still have a trouble dancing like you would back home, you know, but we are slow to learn sometimes. I want to welcome you this morning. If you're visiting, we're so glad that you're here. We're going to take a break from our series that we've been doing on the book of Acts. Between now and through the end of the year, we're going to have a series of Advent sermons, and we're going to look at this theme of Emmanuel, God with us, and the different ways that we know from God's Word and from our own experience that Jesus, God, is with us. God is with us as the Savior of sinners. He's with us as the shepherd in our weakness. He is with us as light in the midst of darkness. He's with us as the King of righteousness in an incredibly broken world. And He's with us as a child who by His grace makes us God's children. So that's where we're going to go over the next weeks. I want to invite you to just join me this morning in prayer as we ask for God to lead us this morning in this season. Father God, we come before You. Lord, we believe that unless You open our eyes, we cannot see. Unless You soften our hearts, we won't receive Your Word. But Lord, we desire, because You've captured us by Your grace, we desire to grow as Your children. Lord, we desire to grow in knowing the depth of Your love for us and responding to it with all of our lives. So help us, Lord, this morning to see the beauty of Jesus. Help us to see His majesty, the hope of Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Is it possible, do you think, to be completely surrounded with beauty and yet be blind to it? Donna's kind of nodding her head. Tisha's nodding her head. Is it possible to be immersed in something that is majestic and yet have hearts that are apathetic? We know it is, right? I think of times that my family and I enjoy hiking. We love to hike because it's good exercise and it's beautiful and it's cheap. You just need shoes. But we've lived different places and we've hiked different places. We've been in the Rockies in Colorado and the Cascades and the Olympics and the Ozarks and the Smokies. And one of the things that happens sometimes when we go hiking is we'll be out in this amazing scenery, the mountains and the streams, and you can go up in the Cascades, and there's this place where they have the ice caves that are literally caves that are hollowed out that you can go into, and the redwoods of California. And it's not too uncommon that we'll go to these places, and especially before we had phones, or if you don't have cell phone service, you get lost and you need to ask directions, or you just run into the gas station and you're looking for something, and you just start talking to the people who live near there. And what sometimes is shocking to us is that we'll ask them in a small talk conversation, what's your favorite hike around here? Have you been to this waterfall that we read about in this book? Have you seen the ice caves? And it's surprising how often we'll get some response from somebody who lives right there, and they'll say, well, we don't get out very often. We don't know what you're talking about. We've never seen that thing. And we're like, we drove hundreds of miles to see this. You're living in the middle of it. And yet you're blind to it. But that can often be our own hearts, right? Surrounded by the beauty and the goodness of God. And especially this season, when even if you're just listening to the radio in your car, you might hear songs that have incredible words about this child who was born, God with us. And yet, we can be numb to it. We can be blind to it. We can be apathetic to it, maybe because it's so familiar. Maybe because we're just so busy with other things. But my hope for us this morning, my hope for us over the next five Sundays, you know, Christmas is on a Sunday, so my hope for us is that we will be more aware of the majesty that is God with us, the beauty that is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, that we will be renewed and transformed by it. And if you are someone who has never been captured by this beauty, I hope that you would see it for the first time. I was talking with my daughter Aaliyah. This was, I don't know, a few years ago, around this time of the year, which, by the way, parents, Christmas is a great time to have conversations about the gospel with your children. But I was talking to Aaliyah about this, and I just said, Aaliyah, what is Christmas? I was curious what she would say. And there were other times when my kids have answered about Santa Claus and presents. But on this occasion, she gave this answer that kind of blew me away. I said, Aaliyah, what is Christmas? And she said, Christmas is when God came into the world. And I said, well, why did God come into the world? And she said, he came into the world to save us from our sins. And so basically that's the sermon, all right?
Okay.
Straight from Aaliyah. God came into the world in Christ Jesus to save us from our sins. And it's a message that we're going to read a couple of passages here, but you don't even really need to read the passages to have this message. All you need to know is the names by which this child was called when he was first born. So I'm going to read a little bit from Matthew chapter 1 and then John. You can follow along in your bulletins or on the screen behind me. But especially look for these names that this child is given as we read this passage. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed unto Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. You will call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. We'll read those other passages in a few minutes here, but you see these two names from Matthew. One is from the prophet Isaiah that Marian read this morning. You will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. But also you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, if you are from most places around the world, when your parents give you a name, it actually has significant meaning. It can have meaning in relation to a word or a translation or a family member. And for the Jewish people, this was a really big deal. Their names had meaning. And so here we see that this child who was born is called literally God with us and also called the Lord saves. Jesus, the Lord saves. Emmanuel simply means God with us. In Christ, God entered into this world. One translation says this about John. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Another translation says, the Word became flesh and moved into your neighborhood. Which for some of you is pretty amazing, right? That he would move into that neighborhood. Jesus moves into the most broken places, the most difficult places, the darkest places as his light. God dwells among us. And the normal picture that the world has of God, and in fact, maybe yourself, the picture that you have of God, is not often this picture of God with us. Right? Bette Midler used to sing this song, and I think it was not a good song. I didn't recommend the song, but it had one of these lines that you couldn't get out of your head. And basically, the song says something like this. From a distance, you look like my friend, even though we're at war. From a distance, there is harmony and it echoes through the land. And then there's this chorus again and again, from a distance, God is watching us. And the whole picture of the song is the one of God who is incredibly detached and removed and outside of this world and separate from us. And so often that's, can I be honest? So often that's how I live my life. I live my life as if God is some distant, far away, separated, all-powerful, but not present being. Emmanuel challenges me. No, God is with us. God is here right now in this room, dwelling among us. Emmanuel, God with us. Even the Jewish view of the Old Testament would have been challenged by this idea. You remember the Old Testament stories, right? About the pillar of fire that was over the camp and the tabernacle and the tent and the Holy of Holies, which you had to enter by the priest only one time a year into the most holy place. And the ground shaking in the presence of God that was certainly majestic. It was definitely powerful, but it was not approachable. And here in the Gospels, God comes as a baby. A baby. Now, I know babies are scary to some of you, but they're really quite harmless, right? They can make a lot of noise and dirty diapers. But how more approachable could God have become than a child born? It's what we call the incarnation. God becoming flesh, dwelling among us. Why? Heard this story recently. It's probably not true, but it's a good story. But it's this story about a farmer whose family was going off to celebrate Christmas Eve at the church, and he was not going to have anything to do with it. This was in an earlier era. They were living out in the country. It was terrible weather. The snow was coming down, but mother and the children were going to go to the church, and they were going to celebrate Christmas. While they were gone, this terrible storm whipped up. And the farmer's inside, and the snow is coming, and the wind is blowing, and all of a sudden he hears thud, thud, thud on the window and the side of the house. And what's going on? He goes and he cracks open the door, and he sees that surrounding him in this storm are a bunch of geese that are lost. They don't know where to go, and they're flying into everything. Well, there's a barn over here, and the farmer has some sympathy for these geese. So he goes out, he puts his coat on, he opens the big door in the barn, and then this farmer is out there running around trying to get the geese to kind of herd themselves, geese don't swarm, flock, whatever geese do, into the barn, into safety so that they would not die in the storm. And you know what these geese do, even if they look at them, what's this crazy guy doing? They're not going to follow him. He thinks it's lost. There's no hope. And then he has an idea. You see, he's got some animals here in his barn. And so he goes and he gets his own goose. And he takes it out of the pen. And he carries it through the flock of the geese that are lost and confused and don't know where to go. And he takes this goose and he sets it on the other side. And he lets it go. And the goose flies through all of the other geese and heads into the barn, and along with him, all the others go to safety. It took one who was like them in every way to come in the midst of their storm, to identify with them, to relate to them, and to rescue them. God became flesh, dwelt among us, made like us in every way. He knows all about your trouble. He knows all about your weakness. He knows all about your struggle with sin, except that He never gave in to temptation. God knows. God with us. But there's another name here, of course, Jesus. It's the same name in the Old Testament that we know as Joshua. Joshua. Jesus. And it would have been a very popular name, by the way, in the first century among the Jewish people. So it would have been, you know, when I grew up, there was Dan, and there was Bill, and there was Mary, and there was Susan. He would not have been the only Jesus in the class at a school, okay? It was a common name, but it was a name that was given to Hebrew children with a hope for the future, that God would send one who would save us. God was going to send one who would save us. But in this situation, did you catch this? Not only is he named Jesus, but Matthew records the words of the angel saying this: he will save his people from their sins. This is not just a general hope of one who would come. This is the announcement that he has come. This child is the Savior. These other passages here in your bulletin, John 1:29, John the Baptist sees Jesus and he says, the next day he saw Jesus coming and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John says in John 3:16, perhaps the most well-known verse in the Bible. I want to read it, but then I want to read verse 17. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. In this child, God is with us to save us. God is with us to save us. Christmas is an amazing announcement that God came into the world to save us, to rescue us. It shows us the holiness of God and also the mercy of God. A God who was completely holy without mercy, a God who was completely just, would simply say, you are on your own to make yourself right, which we could never do. But a God who is merciful, if he's only merciful, if he's only kind in some sort of a general way, when we think about God, maybe in our culture, oh, God is, he can overlook these things. If he's not holy, but he's simply kind, then he would also never enter into the world. But in the Advent, in incarnation, in Jesus coming, we see the holiness of God and the mercy of God, because our sins demanded that someone come and set things right. And the mercy of God said, I will take upon myself what you deserve. That's the gospel. One of the things we want to do during this Advent sermon series is hopefully weave in some testimonies from some of you all, members of our church. And I've got a few things I want to say just about applying this to our lives in a little while. But I want to ask Debisa to come on forward. Would you come on up a minute? This is Debisa Gutu. Have you met him yet? Some of you, yes, all right. Your family is upstairs?
Yes, Dad.
So, all right. Tell us a minute just about your family, your wife and your children.
Yep. Good morning, everybody. My name is Debisa Gutu, as the pastor said. So, I am here for about four years coming February. So, I'm the father of five. Four are with me. The other one is back home. So the family are upstairs, the kids, and my wife is upstairs there in the class.
Yeah.
So
good. So Debisa and I were visiting earlier this week, actually, and I got to hear, he's going to become a member of the church. He and his wife are going to become members of the church in a couple of weeks. So I got to hear his story about God's grace in your life. You have experienced this, right? When we say that God is with us as our Savior.
Yes.
That Jesus is our Savior. Tell us, what did that look like in your life when you first came to know God?
So, I have been born in the family or in the community has been called Christian. That's traditional Christianity in Ethiopia. I'm from Ethiopia. So, I've been born in Christian family. Orthodox Christian in Ethiopia, the popular religion in there, in our country. So I have been grow up there. My mom and my dad are from that religion, from that traditional religion. But when I grow up and I was just hearing about gospel, about goodness and mercy of God, starting to hear some gospel music in our language, so I have been attracted by those songs. So I start to ask, I think this is better, this is good. So I was thinking it, started to think about it, and I got a friend who was in a gospel church. I talked, I just asked him some few questions about the Christianity there. He told me about gospel, about the Bible. I don't know before that, I don't know anything about the Bible. We are Christian in Orthodox Church. We are not reading Bible. We don't know about Bible. Anybody knows about Bible? Well, so he told me, I'll buy for you Bible. You'll get it, read the Bible. Then you will know the truth and you'll decide, he told me. No, I didn't wait for that. So I told him, no, let me go to your church. I might just hear and I might see what is going there. So I decided, and next Saturday we went there with him. I just worship with him. I start what they are doing, looking what they are doing. I've been surprised. It was very, very wonderful what they are doing there. It was unusual for me. Then, so by that particular day, I decided to follow Jesus Christ. Then next Sunday, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord, 1991. So,
amen.
So
amen.
Since there, I have been saved. Jesus Christ just took me and saved me. And wherever I have been, whatever I faced, He had been with me and He is with me. So it's long story. Do you want to?
Yeah, no, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did Jesus save you from?
Oh, Jesus saved me from, from sin. From, as I told you, I thought I'm Christian. I thought I know everything. I'm going on the right way. But I was wrong. I was in sin. So I didn't know Jesus Christ. In Orthodox Church, we are just following. So many things there. Scientists, we are worshiping about them. We are just praying for them. So the truth is, the only way to get salvation, the only way to get eternal life is Jesus Christ. I became to know that. So He saved me from my sin, from the sin of my sisters, and from my sin. From the sin I came from my background, my sisters, my fathers and grandfathers. So He saved me. He loved me. Because the very wonderful word I like every time, John 3:16-17. So that was in my, I've seen that word in my life. Jesus was working. Sometimes after I received Jesus Christ, I faced some very difficult time. I've been in jail. I've been put in jail. I have been tortured. But there, Jesus was with me. He was just, encouraging me. I'd never lose hope there when I was in prison, when I was at that, circumstance. The circumstance of torturing, it is too bad. You can't lose hope. You can't feel bad. But Jesus was with me. So the word was I reading, and still I got encouragement. Jeremiah 29:11 say, God has planned for every one of us. He has planned. What he his plan? Wherever we go, he. So again, Isaiah chapter 43:1-5. God saying, don't fear. When you pass in fire, it won't burn you. When you walk on the water, you cannot go deep because God is with you. So those words were protecting me wherever I go. So I have been in refugee camp in Kenya about 30 years. God was with me, protecting me. My two children have been born there in Kakuma refugee camp. My fellow brother might know who is Kenya. So the life was difficult there, but God was with me. He has never left me. Wherever, whenever I just called him, he was hearing me. He was with me. So God is the one who did very wonderful deed in my life. So he is my personal savior, my Lord, my King. He protect me and my family, and he brought us here to join you guys. Very wonderful time, very wonderful people. Thank you. May God bless.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Yes. Thank you so much. I recommend you get to know this beautiful family more. Incredible stories of God's grace in the midst of really difficult trials. And what I loved was just hearing Debisa's story of Emmanuel, God with us as our Savior. Just a few things briefly to touch on here. What is this God with us to save us reveal? And how are we called to respond to it? One of the things that I believe it reveals is that we are people who desperately need a Savior. We are people who desperately need a Savior. And in our culture, it's easy to look out and see this in a general way, right? You see this video that was going around this past week of people in a kind of a white supremacy gathering, and they are declaring that, their ethnic group doesn't need anyone else, and that this is their country. Terrible, terrible, evil. Christians should not have any part of that. We see that. And then I saw another video. And I saw another video in Syria from a child, 7 years old, who was in the hospital because he was playing outside with his brothers and some plane had just come by and dropped chlorine gas on them. He's having a hard time breathing. He's saying, am I going to die? And while the video is being taken, the hospital is bombed. We live in a broken, evil world. But this world is not fundamentally filled with good people who are just a little bit misled. It is filled with people who, like Debisa said, from our ancestors, from our ultimate ancestor, Adam onward, we are born into sin. And we need to be rescued. Not just this world, not just those who are maybe on your list of somebody who is in the other camp. But if we admit to ourselves, I also need this Savior. I need this Savior. My relationship with God, my relationship with my wife, with my children, with you all, with my family, with my neighbors is affected not just because they're messed up, but because I'm terribly messed up, Donna. The problem is not just out there, it's in here. I need a Savior. I do not love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I do not love my neighbors myself. I am so often bent in a selfish direction. And my only hope is not for everybody else, for you to get everything cleaned up. My only hope is not to fix myself. My only hope is to be rescued. I need a Savior. I need God with us. Jack Miller is someone who was influential in sort of some of the theology and ideas behind our church, and he talked about the doctrine of sonship and adoption, but he used to say this, cheer up, you're worse off than you think. Well, that's the beginning of the good news, right? Is to admit that we're actually worse off than we think. We cannot help ourselves, but then that's not the end of the story. He would say, and in Jesus, we are more loved than we ever dared to hope. God with us to save us. And I believe, church, as this kind of sinks into our hearts and into our minds, as we, as some people say, marinate in it, as it gets into us, this good news of Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us to save us, we will become people of great joy, a fellowship with God, people who engage God's mission in this world. This idea of being people of great joy, the angel said it, right? I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Unto you is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. If you are weighed down this morning by the sin in this world or by your own sin, if you're dealing with something going on in your own life where you feel trapped, as Paul says, the things I do, I don't want to do, and the things I want to do, I don't do. Who will save me? Who will rescue me? Thanks be to God. Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us to save us and to reconcile us to Himself. We'll sing the song, I think, sometime this season. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. And when you are singing that, I hope that you're not fundamentally looking out there, but looking in the mirror. God, a holy, perfect God, and me, a sinner, reconciled, restored to fellowship. This was what really got me when I was 16 years old. I had grown up in the church. I could tell you the Bible stories. I could give you some memory verses. I could answer the questions in the right way. But my life was going this way, and Jesus was going this way. And God convicted me of my need for forgiveness, but not only that, He convicted me that He loved me and that He wanted fellowship with me. In the Gospels, Jesus calls the disciples to Himself. Why? It says that they might be with Him. Do you know this fellowship with Jesus? Do you know the restoration of this relationship? Your sins forgiven, but not only that, restored to fellowship with the God who made you. I invite you to come back to Him this morning. If your heart has grown cold, if you've wandered away, He longs for relationship with you. He is God with you to save you. And then to invite us on His glorious mission in this world. John says in his letter, as He is, so are we in this world. As He is, so are we in this world. Having received the gospel, known Jesus as God with us to save us, been transformed and in relationship with Him, He then invites us to love others as we have been loved. This past week, I have been on both sides of this gospel. In relationships with others, I have been in a place where I have had to confess my sin and ask forgiveness. And I have wonderfully also had someone come to me and ask that as well. And the person who emailed me asking this included an article. And I want to just read a little bit from it because it speaks to our relationships with one another. Says that the great privilege we have when we gather with other believers, other obnoxious believers, other theologically imprecise believers, other spiritually sleepy believers, other frustrating believers, other sinning believers, the great privilege we have is of passing on horizontally a taste of what we've been given vertically. Amid all my sin and messiness in Jesus, God has given me a word of welcome, a word of life. Freely we've received. Freely let us give. Emmanuel, God with us to save us. That's your hope, church. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. Lord, we ask that you would help us to not become numb to your majesty, to your wonder, to your salvation, to the glorious, miraculous news that, God, you entered into this world to become like us to save us. Lord, I pray for everyone here that you would give us time and space by your Holy Spirit to be renewed in this reality again this season. Thank you that you are God with us. Thank you that you save us. Keep us awake to the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to invite you to stand. Pastor Roy is going to lead us in the Lord's Supper. We'll make a circle around the outside. One word of caution: do not get too close to the candles.